My guest today is Gabriel Mann. We're going to start off by listening to a track from his brand new album, Tall Buildings, and then we're going to get into some interview and some live stuff. Looking forward to it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around.
I never learned my lesson. I mumbled out in the street. I make a faint impression. 'Cause I am incomplete. I try to be there in the open. I try to
up here.
We're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Gabriel Mann. Gabriel, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back. It's been like a year or so, I think.
At least a year, right? I have no recollection of what the date was when I was here last.
I have that effect on people. But you've been doing a lot since then. You've played a lot of shows, and you just released this album not too long ago, just about a month ago, I think.
1 month today, in fact. Is today the 4th? No,
today's the 3rd.
1 month tomorrow.
And it's called Tall Buildings, and this is, what is this, your junior, your senior album? It's not your second album.
You know, I have this is my 4th full-length album. I have another little thing, like a live in-studio EP that came out. So it's my 5th album, my 4th full-length album.
Do you think of yourself as more of a recording artist than a live performer, or can you separate those two worlds?
I don't really separate them. I like to make records, but by the time you're done making one, you never want to make another one, or at least that's been my experience.
It's a lot of work.
And then, yeah, they're a ton of work, and whereas you can just sort of get up and go and play a show, you know, pretty much any time, have a rehearsal if need be.
But then after a while, I guess, of playing a bunch of live shows, you feel the need to do some recording again.
Exactly. It's like, you know, it's the grass is always greener. In every aspect of life, I have found the more songs I write, the fewer songs I want to write. And if I haven't written songs for a long time, I can't bear existence without writing something. So it's and same with playing shows. And I mean, anything, everything in moderation, balance. I'm searching for balance.
Nice. So we're going to have you play live solo on this show, and I know you play live solo sometimes, but you also play with a band sometimes, and obviously there's a nice full textured sound on this album. Is there a Gabriel Mann band, or are there just people that
there
you
is.
Trust?
I regularly play with the same three guys, Adam Marcello on the drums, Carson Cohen on bass, and Steve Major on guitar, and I've been playing with them for years now. And occasionally we'll either add somebody or somebody will be out of town or something. But generally it's those three guys and me. And you know, Adam and Carson sing. So it's a big sound for four guys.
Mm-hmm. And when you write the other instrumentation, do you kind of write it with them in mind, sort of knowing what their abilities are?
I mean, they're all pretty much like fantastic musicians. So I can write anything that comes to mind, and we will figure out a way to make it happen. I probably do write with them in mind, in that I have total freedom to write anything, and I know
and you know they will be able to handle it,
yeah, one way or the other. So yeah, I guess I do write with them in mind. And also, you know, we work out, you know, their parts on, like, you know, I didn't write that drum part on Shadows of Tall Buildings. Like, I don't play the drums and I don't claim to play the drums. Occasionally I'll have like some kind of specific thing that I'll want to get out of some particular instrument. Usually that is it's usually not the drums.
but you know, sort of the tone of the drumming that you want.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and generally, like with that song actually had a lot of programming. I started it with a lot of programming, like little keyboard, like this whole thing, which you can't hear. This little, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just sort of did that on my computer. And then put some loops behind it and just sort of started to get it kind of going without having them around. And then when we were making the record, we sort of like, I mean, I knew that ultimately I wanted it to be like bigger and have more of an organic thing going on. So they put their, you know, stamp on it. And they do that with pretty much, we pretty much did that same, you know, sometimes it was the reverse though.
How do you mean? The reverse process
sometimes. Like sometimes we would go, I would have a song and we would sort of rehearse it live before I had ever, you know, recorded any part of it. And then
after that experience, you figure out how you want to record it.
Yeah, exactly. And we can talk about that later, because this sort of involves Linus of Hollywood, who I should talk about also.
Well, in that case, why don't we jump into a live song now? Now, this isn't your usual keyboard that you brought in today.
No, it's not.
Tell our audience what you have here and why.
This is a 54-key Rhodes. Not a Fender Rhodes, but a Rhodes. A Fender Rhodes was made by Fender. And then the Rhodes, I don't really understand the difference. But Ken Rich, who is fixing my Wurlitzer, could tell you probably. Anyway, it's an unusual keyboard. It's very short. It's like 4.5 octaves of keyboard. So it goes from here to here, which is not enormous.
Mm-hmm.
It is, however, just as heavy as a 73-key Rhodes, which is a real drag. Anyway, this is actually, you did hear this Rhodes on that song that you just played. I use it all the time. I haven't been performing with it because it's like twice as heavy as my Whirly.
Mm-hmm. And your poor Whirly took a cement dive, didn't it?
It's like unbelievable. I was playing, I have a Monday night thing at Room 5 until the end of October, and I was loading in the Whirly, and I like leaned it up against the car and on La Brea.
Oh, and it slid out from under?
I went into the back seat to like pick up some stuff, and I just heard this enormous clunk.
Ah.
And, you know, it works. It's just like kind of got, it's sort of, you know, it's a little worse for the wear. There's something going on with it. So I took it to this guy who I should also talk about, who's fascinating.
Well, I hope it forgives you. What are you going to play for us first?
Why don't I play Just Fine With Me?
All right. My guess is Gabriel Mann. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org whenever you're ready.
Just fine with me.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Gabriel Mann. That was beautiful, man. Nice start to the show.
Thank you.
It's interesting, actually, the selection of music. We started with a track from your CD that was very upbeat and kind of emotionally excited, and then we did this live song that was a little bit more seemed a little bit more painful and subdued. Tell me a little bit about that in terms of the kind of songs you like to write. I mean, you're not someone who just writes one kind of pop song.
That is for sure. Probably to my detriment.
Would it be easier if you could just be compartmentalized as the upbeat guy or the downer guy?
I mean, it would probably be beneficial to my career. But you know, I get bored with that. I kind of feel like basically every time I write something, I'm trying to write something new. Something that I've never done.
Do you have to stop yourself sometimes
when
you catch yourself doing something you've already done?
All the time. I mean, not necessarily, like, it's usually not like a melodic phrase or anything. It's usually the kind of song that it is. Like, I'm trying to do, I will say that I have like sort of categories of songs. Like, I have sort of like some more fun songs, and I have kind of more upbeat, but not necessarily very fun songs. And I have sort of like big, you know, emotional ballad type songs that aren't exactly ballads because they always get big by the end. Like, if you heard that song that I just played with the band, it's like, it's pretty slamming, the recording. It's mm-hmm. like it kind of and even, you know, if the other thing is that playing this instrument is extremely subdued. It doesn't have a big dynamic range, so everything kind of winds up sounding subdued, even if it's not necessarily meant to. But yeah, I mean, I definitely try deliberately to not write the same thing over and over again.
In those categories, is there one that you just personally prefer, that you enjoy doing the most?
No. For the same reason that we were talking about before, which is that, like, because the grass is always greener. As soon as mm-hmm. I'm done playing that, it's the last thing that I want to play next. Mm-hmm. I want to do something totally different every time. And, you know, I know other musicians that are that way, or at least that feel that way, but there's plenty of them out there that don't feel that way, that are just sort of trying to get this one thing right. And there's something to be said for that also.
Well, it's a... you know, many musicians seem to be quite successful with that. It seems like the road with a lot of bands.
Like Jack Johnson comes to mind.
Yeah, and I was thinking Coldplay as well, where they kind of figured out what it is that they did right with their early releases, and then kind of recapture that their newer music. And the radio stations eat it up. They go, oh, this is just as good as the other song that was just as good as the other song.
Well, I will say that, like, even, I mean, if you look at my records, they do sort of, like, you can see the sort of same type of song in different ways on the earlier records. Like, mm-hmm. although the song that we played, that you played first, Shadows of Tall Buildings, I've never done a song like that. That's sort of like, and I'm not sure exactly why that happened, but I think part of it has to do with the fact that I started it digitally. I sort of started the writing process on a computer, and it came out sounding a little digital, for lack of a better word, mm-hmm. you know, and it still has, it's like a combination of worlds that I hope to explore more. It's like got very, like, sort of modern, you know, production aesthetic, but it also, you know, harkens to like big melodies, which
it still has those organic elements to it, even though it started out kind of synthetic.
Yeah, and melodically, the chorus is very, like, you know, this is the chorus kind of thing, which is something that I am a fan of.
Let's listen to another track from the CD. Before we do that, we were going to talk a little bit about the production of the CD and who helped you produce it. Why don't you tell me a little bit about
Linus
that?
Of Hollywood is my co-producer on the record, and it was a pleasure working with him, and you should go to linusofhollywood.com. And he has a record label called Franklin Castle Recordings, which is sort of, and so he and I put this out together. So I was starting to talk about how the main way we did most of these songs is I would write something, I would get the band together, we would record something, as a quartet, basically, and I would either play like piano or whirly or something, and I would sort of get it to a certain point. And the point that I got it to was basically where I was on my last record. And then Linus would come in, and we would kind of mess with it, and for a long time.
Yeah. Is he someone who really understands your music, so he kind of knew what it was lacking or what it was excelling in?
Well, I mean, he's a very pop-oriented guy, and he, like, gets, and so am I, you know, even though I have songs that aren't that way, I always sort of imagine them, you know, on the radio, of course. And but he really was a fan of my music, and I was a fan of his music, and I was a fan of some things that he had produced as well. So he and I got together, and we would just sort of, he would bring in toys and you know, instruments that made weird noises, and he would chop things around and move things around, and we would sort of, it was collaborative, but I really sort of relied on him to kind of bring it to another place, basically. So it was great fun having him around, and it changed the sound of the record, I think.
This is the first time that you've worked with him on producing a record?
Yeah. We started, basically, I was like, well, let's not commit to a record. Let's like do a song. And the first song we did came out great, and I was really psyched about it. And so we just did the whole record.
Have you found, because, you know, you've done a few other records, that it must make a kind of a huge difference in the way an album comes out, who you're producing with?
Yeah, for sure. It definitely, it took it to another place that I am really happy with. I'm really proud of it. I think that it kind of juiced everything up, you know, for lack of a better term. He brought a lot of, he also like brought energy, you know, after you've written a song and done like a whole pass of recording and kind of tweaking and singing and all that stuff, it becomes, you know, everybody always says you should never produce yourself. And I've found it hard to not do that, but it was really great to produce with someone else, to be able to still have a lot of control, and yet have someone else with a lot of ideas, and talent.
And also, you know, to have that confidence to know that they like the music and want the music to be good, and they're not just doing you a favor because you paid them to, you know.
Yeah, exactly. He's a really like passionate guy, and he felt passionate about my music, and that was you know, that kind of pushed it over the top. It was a great experience.
What should we listen to?
Good question. Why don't we listen to Naughty Girl?
All right. And then so be it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. We're going to have a listen to Naughty Girl off of Tall Buildings. My guest is Gabriel Mann. Stick around.
One day in the car, won't get very far.
We're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Gabriel Mann. MySpace.com/Gabriel Mann, is that the place to go to get the up-to-date information?
Yes. I also have a new website, which I haven't really announced per se, but it's up and working, and it's GabrielMann.com. Sounds great. Looks great. Friends of mine made it.
Nice.
I love it. They made it in like a week. I was like, hey, I have a record coming out. What do you think about making a new website?
And they were able to put it together that quickly?
That's who you need.
I know. That would be great.
I'll give you their number.
It's taken me a year and a half to get isgoodmusic.com off the ground. Where can people get Tall Buildings?
Two places. Well, a lot of places. You can get them. Well, there aren't any more record stores, so you can't really get it in a record store. But you can get it at cdbaby.com. And if you can just search for Gabriel Mann, and then it'll come up with all my records. And or you can go to cdbaby.com/GabrielMann5, I think. But CD Baby will do it. And they will ship anywhere in the world. They've been really helpful. It is also on iTunes and like every other digital distributor that exists, pretty much. And if you come see me play, then I will sell
them
at
your shows.
Gladly. Yeah.
And where are you playing these days? Do you have any gigs coming up?
Yes, I do. I have a little residency at Room 5 every Monday night from now until the end of October. I'm usually with Ernie Halter and occasionally with Jay Nash and various assorted others. It's like a songwriter in the round thing. So there's four songwriters and we go in the round.
Nice.
And then I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a show on the 1st of December at the hotel with the full band. And what else? There's going to be some shows in San Diego and hopefully Santa Barbara soon. Those are not listed. Oh, and you know what else I'm doing that's fascinating? The 3-hour tour. Have you heard of this thing?
No, what is that?
Okay, there's a 3-hour tour a la Gilligan's Island. It's leaving out of Long Beach. I think it actually might even be sold out already, but I'm not positive about that. So if you are interested in this kind of thing, you should check it out. I think it's actually like myspace.com/3-hour tour or something with the number 3. I could be wrong about that. But if you go to my MySpace, then you can find it. Anyway, it's like, there's like 26 artists. It's like one of these like rock the boat kind of things, mm-hmm. where like you go out for a week, except it's for 3 hours. So you leave out of Long Beach and there's like 26 acts and there's like 2 stages and it's going to be like a crazy party.
Wow. Now, you know, Room 5 is a very small, intimate sort of setting, but you've also played, you know, huge shows. I know when I had you on the show last year, you had recently gone on tour with Alanis Morissette, mm-hmm. and played in front of thousands of people. Do you have a preference over what kind of show, what kind of venue you play in?
I like playing for thousands of people.
Yeah. But do you also get something out of the small, intimate shows
yeah,
that maybe you
absolutely.
Can't get in those big arena yeah. shows?
I mean, I wouldn't keep doing them if I didn't enjoy them. It's really, it's a great way to sort of like figure out ways to play songs, whether they're new or old. I find that it can often be a lot more satisfying, you know, first of all, one thing that's very helpful is that people can just tell you what to play. So you don't have to really come up with a set.
Oh.
So that's very helpful.
If you have like the same crowd that yeah. comes a lot, I'll play this one.
Exactly. So there you get like regulars and that's like a really nice, it's just different than playing for people you don't know. It's like a totally different experience.
Right.
They know all
like,
your music.
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they know all your music and they know the words and they know what you've played recently and what you haven't played recently and
what
like,
you like to play.
What you like to play and you know what songs people will sort of join in on other instruments at Room 5 and you know, that can be really wonderful. It can also be wonderful to play for 15,000 people that you don't know, but it's a different kind of experience.
Well, I guess in the small setting, you have that feeling that it's almost like you have a little, like a, the audience is like a team that's rooting for you.
It's like playing in your living room. It's like if I had a show in my living room, it would probably be a lot like playing a show at Room 5.
Well,
in fact, I should probably do that.
Yeah, along those lines, that's what this show is all about. So get to know the artist in their underwear on Is Good.
Yeah.
So why don't we do another live song then?
Okay.
What are you going to play for us?
I don't know. Let me see that record.
Oh, okay.
Let's have a look here. What about... Oh, I know what I could play. This is a song about... it's always hard for me to describe it. I wrote this song with Adrian, by the way, who I have this other band with, The Rescues, along with Kyler England. Anyway, 8 Feet Tall is about the difficulty of... it's hard to sort of stand up sometimes and take shit from people and like remember that like you are a valuable member of society and that, you know, that you can get lonely and you can get down and it's hard to like pick yourself back up. Basically it's, you know, there's some more specific stuff in it, but that's the general vibe.
That's especially true in the, if you're in any kind of creative industry.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know what this is like being an actor. It's like you get your ass kicked and you get your ass kicked on a daily basis. And it's not just in entertainment, obviously. This is something that happens to everyone. You know, you just get your ass kicked a lot in life.
Yeah.
And it's a drag and it's hard to like lift yourself back up. And that's basically what this song is about.
All right, let's do this then. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Gabriel Mann.
I am a lonely train ready to run away. Can't go forever. Tracks they will disappear. I'm gonna disappear. They roll their eyes, cutting you down to size. The straight line I couldn't fake. They said break. Said if I bend, I'd break. Maybe I know it. Maybe I can't come through. Everyone's waiting to see what I'm gonna do. So hard to stand under that weight, hard to be 8 feet tall. It feels like a mountain now to overcome somehow. I try to see through my veil, try to fail, but I'm on another rail. Maybe I know it. Maybe I can't come through. Everyone's waiting to see what I'm gonna do. to stand under that weight. Hard to be 8 feet tall.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Gabriel Mann. Forgive me if I've asked you this a year ago, but I'm curious, which came for you first, playing the keys or singing?
Probably singing, although I don't remember.
So you've been singing as long as you can remember?
Well, I mean, I was probably singing, you know, as a kid for my parents, like the ABCs and such. But and my dad was a cantor, so I would sing in synagogue with my dad. And my mom sang too. She sang at the piano. So we would, I guess there was always singing going on. Didn't really start playing piano till like third grade.
Do you think your dad being a cantor had any kind of influence on the style of singing that you chose? Cause you are someone who uses a rather wide range of octave. And
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, there, you know, being a cantor, there's like a lot of like, he also had to perform without amplification. Because he was in an Orthodox synagogue. So he was facing away from the audience with no amplification. So he was always singing. I mean, we have completely opposite voices. I sound like this, and he sounds like a big monster. So I guess so. Probably, yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, his dynamic range was enormous. It was like it would go from little plaintive melodies to just huge belting it out at the top of his range. And I like that also. And I like that in other artists, you know, when I listen to like Sting or Elvis Costello or, you know, people that I love, it's usually, or even like, you know, Rufus Wainwright, they're people that are like pretty dramatic. They're writing like kind of dramatic songs that like really, not only do they tell their story, but they do it in a not melodramatic way, but like in a dramatic way, you know.
Right. And they're not afraid to belt it out or be really quiet and
exactly.
Bring it down.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that.
What's the significance of the title of this latest album, Tall Buildings? I mean, LA is not known for its tall buildings per se, except perhaps downtown or in Century City.
Well, it's basically about I mean, the title track is Shadows of Tall Buildings, and it's about it's about New York City in various ways. It's basically about our great expectations and, you know, fulfilling them or not fulfilling them, or, you know, and a friend of mine actually sent me like a lengthy review of my record and basically like put the entire record into one various versions of that. Various versions of like expectations, like there's like and feeling worthy of stuff, and this is not something that I had planned, but it was kind of fascinating to read his review and have him relate all of these songs to that feeling of to expectations and feelings of worthiness and feelings of like of ambition and stuff like that. Anyway, so Tall Buildings is about, you know, the cover is also sort of the opposite of Tall Buildings. And it's a, I don't know if, you know, if you've downloaded this record, you may not have seen that. But
there's, you're like in a park or something.
Yeah, it's basically a park. It's like the exact opposite kind of thing. So you're sort of escaping the, not only the city, but like you're escaping the weight of the world. And specifically, that song "Shadows of Tall Buildings" is, also has, you know, it references 9/11 in sort of a not a direct way, but sort of the atmosphere of New York after that.
Yeah, how it kind of left a scar on the city and the world.
Yeah, exactly, and so that song talks about, you know, being in New York and what it feels like to be there, and what it feeling small is a similar thing to what 8 Feet Tall kind of talks about, but in a more sort of worldly way. With all, you know, there's people come to New York with big dreams and big ambitions, and the buildings sort of symbolize that, you know, and they can either get dashed to the street or they can really rise up and fulfill something. So that's sort of the idea of
they say you can see you can tell the newcomers in New York by who's looking up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it's not, so it's definitely not an LA thing. The pictures were taken in LA, wide open spaces. Not that there's tons of wide open spaces here, but there's a big park. North on the 405.
Let's listen to another track from the CD. What do you recommend?
Well, let's see. What am I not going to play? We could play... Why don't we play Talking to a Ghost? Number 3.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Gabriel Mann. There's more to come, so stick around.
Shadow, I am invisible. I know it's hard to see it. You think you're looking at me, sorry to tell you, but you're not even warm at all. You keep on trying, but you can't even touch me. That you could bring me back from the dead. You keep on trying, but you can't even touch me. You're colder than you were a minute ago. I am floating through the walls all around you. You are talking to a ghost. I walk alone.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. We're hanging out with Gabriel Mann. Tell me, do you like to write a lot of songs and then just kind of break it down to what you're going to bother recording? Or do you follow each song through to the end and you start a song? Do you commit to it?
It's definitely not the latter.
So you have a lot of unfinished songs out there?
I do have a lot of unfinished songs. There's tons of little snippets that are... They've taken various forms. They started out being on a little cassette deck that I would stick on the piano and I would sort of sing little things into. Now they're on my GarageBand. I'll like just stick the computer on the piano and sing a little thing into the computer. So it's basically the same thing. But yeah, I have a bunch of songs. You know, a lot of times I'll be trying to like write this particular thing and I'll try like four different times and the first four times will be terrible, and then finally on that fifth one I'll be like, oh, okay, maybe this will make it work.
Mm-hmm. So you find that a lot of songs become something different than you initially intended?
Yeah, not necessarily in a good way. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I'm trying to do something and it's just not working out. Other times the opposite can happen, but more frequently than not, I'm not happy enough with it. I also have like sort of, you know, I make part of my living as a composer, so I'm writing a lot of music all the time, whether or not it's for my own records, and it makes the music that I write for my records much more precious to me, and
because it's more personal.
Yeah,
you're writing
it's more
it,
personal,
the idea that someone else is going to use it.
Exactly,
for something.
It's not utilitarian music. It's music that comes from, you know, for lack of a better word, my heart, and it's important to me, and so anyway, that said, yes, I don't write a ton of songs. Like, I actually heard a fascinating story one time about how, I can't remember, I don't even know if this is public knowledge, but I think that like, whatever, some big famous producer was working with Weezer, and he had them write like 50 songs for their record. And like by the 50th song, they were like, and you know, he just kept throwing them out. He was like, this is not good enough for your new record. And if you know anything about big producers, you'll probably know who this guy is just from the description. But he basically just kept throwing them out, and the band was like, you know what? Screw it. We like these songs. We're going to make a record. We're going to actually have a record that comes out sometime this decade. Mm-hmm. And so they fired him. Anyway, but I don't write that many. I had like a few extra for this record. And in fact, one of them is a song that I wanted to put on the last record, and I still felt like it wasn't good enough. It just keeps not making it. I think it's a great song, and it still hasn't found its home on a record. And one of these days, I'm going to make it work. Maybe the next record.
Are you already working on the next record?
I have a couple of songs that are not done, but that are sort of in progress. I haven't really gotten into like heavy writing for it though.
When you look at your career as a timeline, I mean, looking into the future, do you see yourself you know, releasing a huge amount of albums or gradually slowing down, or
I don't know.
Is there a Gabriel Mann box set coming out sometime?
Well, there's definitely not a box set coming out. I'm like kind of against that in general. I think it's really lame. Like, I think Matchbox 20 just came out with like a greatest hits thing.
Really?
Or like maybe it's a box set. I don't know. It's definitely a greatest hits. And like, you know, they have a lot of hits, but come on. Are you calling it a day? Are you done?
I'm always impressed when an artist comes out with a greatest hits album and they've only been around for a few years.
It's a money thing, I think. Or it's either a money thing or it's a label thing. Sometimes you'll like switch labels and you'll have to put out, and the label that you left is like, oh, well, we're just going to put out a greatest hits record then and make a bunch more money off of you.
And what's your label situation? Like, how have you distributed this? Are you?
I have no label. I made a new label, my own label, Park Hill Records. Park Hill was the street.
So that's
that
you.
I,
okay.
So that's me. I grew up on Park Hill in San Antonio, Texas. And so it's Park Hill Records and Franklin Castle Recordings, which is Linus's thing. So we put it out together, and we will both reap the rewards.
And that affords you also the freedom to write the music you want to write.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, this is also the first record in a little while that I've done sort of without you know, a team of people around me. And I think that the record benefited from that. I think that the songs are really good, for lack of a better term. And I think the production is exciting, and I love the artwork. Like, everything about it, basically, I at least organized myself. And I'm really proud of it. And maybe the most proud that I have been. Maybe I feel that way every time, though.
Well, you should, though. I mean, it should be getting better and better. When you look back at your previously released albums, do you see this one as kind of a natural progression, as
I do.
Evolution in your career?
I actually kind of feel like, what has happened is I started here on my first record, which is called Careen, and I produced that myself, and I guess I've produced everything myself until this one that I did with Linus. The first one was like a bunch of different production ideas all thrown together, like every kind of late 90s production aesthetic.
You were still kind of learning to define.
Yeah, I was
your
like
sound.
Figuring out how to record music, and it was really my first kind of batch of songs also, and I was sort of anyway, but there was a lot of production on it going on. And then my next record sort of kind of honed in a little bit more on a kind of sound, and the record after that kind of dumped that the amount of production and kind of slimmed it down to just basically like piano, bass, drums, and a little bit of guitar. And then this new record, I'm kind of going back to the beginning, where not that the styles of production are so varied, but that there's sort of it's just a bigger sound. Mm-hmm. and I like that bigger sound, and when I play with the band, it's like, you know, we play big time, big rock show style, and it's fun. I love that, you know. I that's what I remember loving as a kid growing up, going to shows and seeing, like, you know, seeing a band playing big music that kind of knocked your face off.
And seeing them really perform is nothing quite as disappointing as going to see your favorite band and then they just kind of phone in their performance.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Like seeing people really, really performing and putting out a lot of sound, and there's interesting things going on, like sonically, and it's a, you know, yeah, I'm into that.
Let's do another live song if you're ready.
Okay.
What are you going to play?
What have we not played on there? Why don't I play a song? I'll play another sort of downer. It's not really a downer. This song is about writing songs.
What's it called?
It's called This Feeling. And I didn't think that's what it was going to be about, but that's what it's about, really. It's about sort of, you know, when you get that feeling.
Whenever you're ready. Sing like a stone. I like that a lot. I don't know if I'm interpreting the song correctly or not, but it's almost like you're singing to the song that's about to be written.
Yeah.
is that the idea?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. You know, it's sort of like summoning the song, trying to like find that feeling.
I like that. But as usual, we hang out and end up just talking and talking and talking, and we're going to run out of time, so I want to make sure I get at least one more live song out of you. So I'm just going to ask you one more question, which is what are some things that you want to make sure you avoid doing, a direction you want to make sure your career doesn't go in terms of, and it could be anything in terms of the way that you perform or the way that you write, but just sort of looking at what's successful now and what kind of trends are going on. What are some things that you want to say, like, you know, hell, if I start doing this, somebody please tell me to stop.
If I have a long running show in Vegas.
Okay.
That would probably not be appropriate. Exactly.
So you don't want to end up just being a caricature of yourself then?
Basically, yeah, that would be bad, I think. You know, I think that you know, a lot of people get that way. I mean, some of my heroes have become that way, and I don't like to. It's such a drag to have to not be a fan of your heroes,
or have to add the disclaimer. No, the old.
Yeah, you
something.
Know the old stuff exactly. Which is, it's like so common.
The early
that it's like really it's sad, you know. And I don't know. I think a lot of times that happens with people that just aren't. I think people run out of steam creatively, and as long as I can keep creative steam, then, you know, I'll keep making records and keep playing shows and stuff. And if I run out of creative steam, I'm going to be in big trouble, because that's how I make my living.
Right. By selling your creative steam.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
It were. All right. Are you ready to jump into another live song?
Yeah, sure.
What are you going to do for us this time?
Why don't I do Ride, the opening track?
All right.
This is the first one that Linus produced with me. And it's sort of difficult to play solo, but I'll make it work somehow. Looking
for a thread, find yourself unfolding, coming to a head. Now you're 2 feet to the wheels, weaving through the summer morning fog. You push the pedals down, put your mind at ease, and in the high flight you run away. Pushed a bit too far, grip the handlebars, lean to the sun. Now you're on your way, weaving down an alley, winding to the sound. 10 more miles are gone, in between what you know and what lies ahead. Now you're 2 feet to the wind, weaving through the summer morning fog. You push the pedals down, put your mind at ease, and in the high flight you run away. Pushed a bit too far, grip the sun and ride. Now you're 2 feet to the wheels, weaving through the summer morning fog. High flight, ooh, lean to the sun and ride.
Gabriel, thanks so much for coming in again.
My pleasure.
The album is Tall Buildings. You can get it at cdbaby.com. You can get it off of iTunes. And you can also catch Gabriel performing live the next 4 Mondays at Room 5. That's on La Brea, right?
You got it. 143 North La Brea, above Amalfi Restaurant.
All right. Check out gabrielman.com. That's man with two N's. MySpace.com/GabrielMan. And, of course, this episode will be available for download later today from myspace.com/thisisgood and isgoodmusic.com, as well as podcasts on iTunes should be up sometime by tomorrow. There's a link to subscribe to that at myspace.com/thisisgood. You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Shall we sign off with California Rain?
Yes, indeed.
All right. Looking